Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we begin our innovation article, The Drinkable Book. And I have in the studio with me Hazel Johansson. Welcome, Hazel.
Well, thank you, Brandon.
Do you like to drink water?
Yes, I do, okay. But I don't know about drinking books.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of a weird thought.
It is a strange
thought. We're going to find out what that means later. And we also have Linda Chung. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, Brandon. Hi, Hazel.
You drink a lot of water, don't you?
I do. I think people know me by my water bottle that I always carry everywhere.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm always drinking water.
Okay. Well, it's important to drink water, but we need clean drinking water, and most of us listening, most of you listening and all of us in the studio, we don't normally think about having a problem with clean drinking water, right, Hazel?
That's right. We can usually find it almost everywhere, at the office, at home. It's just a matter of turning on the tap and getting drinking water.
That's right. But in some parts of the world, of course, they don't have that luxury. They don't have the ability to just turn on the tap and get clean drinking water. So there is someone who has invented this book that can help people, and we'll get into the details of that later, but let's take a look at the deck. What does it say there, Linda?
It says, for those in need of clean drinking water, there may be an accessible tool on the market soon.
All right, so that's good news. If something is accessible, Hazel, that means you have access to it, right?
That's right. It's very easy to come by. It's right there at your fingertips.
All right, and so we see that it will be on the market soon, hopefully. That means you can't purchase this book yet. They're still testing it out and so forth. And so this is a brand new thing. It's very innovative, and we are talking about how it could help people, especially in some underdeveloped nations.
Right, and for a lot of people, getting safe, clean drinking water is a big problem.
It's the difference between life and death for some people.
Exactly. Right? And you asked us, well, you mentioned that we usually don't have to worry about finding clean water here in the city. But sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if there is a typhoon,
yeah,
or a hurricane, that may cut off our supply to clean water. And then we have to either boil the water or filter it somehow. And even in our daily routine, we have to have filtered water.
Yeah.
So we can't just drink it straight from the tap.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. You should be very careful not to drink it right out of the tap unless you're sure it's filtered or has some way to clean the water.
That's right. All right. Well, if you have your magazines there in front of you, please open them to page 40, and we'll have our first reading for today.
The Drinkable Book. For those in need of clean drinking water, there may be an accessible tool on the market soon. Can bacteria-killing filter paper packaged in the form of a convenient book help people around the globe gain access to clean drinking water? That's the hope of Teresa Dankovich, postdoctoral research associate in the Civil and Environmental Engineering Department of Carnegie Mellon University, who has developed the Drinkable Book.
Okay, so now we get more details about this book. We're talking about bacteria-killing filter paper, and it's packaged in the form of a convenient book. Hazel, what a great idea.
It is a great idea. We know that people can get sick, and we're going to find out more about those details,
mm-hmm,
but people can get very sick if they drink water that has bacteria in it. And so not only is this filter paper good for filtering your water, but it's packaged in a different way. It's packaged like a book, a convenient book, and that should help people around the globe.
Yeah, you can just get it to people very easily, and they can use it very easily, so it is very convenient. And next, we find out who's kind of behind this all. And it's not just one person, of course, but the main person involved here is Teresa Dankovich. And she is involved with postdoctoral research. Now, that means she already has her doctorate, and she's continuing to do more research. So she likes school, I guess, Hazel, but she's doing a lot of good things.
That's right. So she's in the Civil and Environmental Engineering Department of Carnegie Mellon. And we know that that's a very prestigious university.
Very famous. It's very well known. And she is the one who has developed the drinkable book. And so, Linda, we find out a little bit more about her. And sounds like she is a quite capable, smart lady.
Yes, for sure. And later on, we'll find out how she ended up developing this book.
That's
it wasn't
right.
her goal that mm-hmm. she set out to achieve, but in the process, this is what was the result.
We'll also find out more about the other people who were involved and gave her ideas and so forth, which reminds us that we don't do everything by ourselves. There are other people that come along and help us with great ideas and give us input. Well,
exactly.
We're going to find out more about the drinkable book in our next reading for today.
One for the books. The first page makes the mission clear. The water in your village may contain deadly diseases, but each page of this book is a paper water filter that will make it safe to drink. According to the nonprofit water.org, 840,000 people die each year of water-related disease, and 1 in 9 people lack access to safe water. The filter is designed to eliminate waterborne bacteria. It killed 99.9999% in lab tests.
All right, we start off here with an idiom, one for the books. And a lot of times, Hazel, we'll use this maybe in the realm of sports. What does it mean?
Well, that would mean one for the record books. When something amazing, something spectacular happens, something that you don't see very often, you can say that's one for the books. Something that later you might read about in the books or keep in mind because it's so different than other things that have happened. So it could be something very unique. It could be something very special, but that's one for the books. Let me write that down and remember it.
And this is unique, this project. And of course, there's a play on words here. It's called The Drinkable Book, One for the Books, but it is something rather unexpected maybe or surprising, not to have filters, but just the way it is packaged, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we get into this next paragraph. It says the first page makes the mission clear. And what is that mission, Linda?
And the mission is water in your village may contain deadly diseases, but it's to filter that water and make it safe to drink.
All right, so there are deadly diseases in the water for some people wherever they live. So they use this filter, and then it makes the water safe to drink. Very important and kind of magical, Hazel.
Yeah, I think the whole concept of a drinkable book, maybe when someone sees it for the first time, instead of just saying, here's a package of filters, it's like, wow, a drinkable book, and you want to try it and take the pages out and give it a try. So I think it's a good statement that they put in the beginning of the book to warn people, and it's also a very clever idea.
And it's a big claim. It says it makes the water safe to drink, so that is exciting news for people in certain parts of the world that are in need of that.
Right, exactly. I mean, because water is so important to us. I mean, it's the source of life. Every civilization that's formed, it's been around a body of water, either river or the ocean. And so water is very, very important to life. And the statistic that they give here, which we'll get into, well, it's about disease, but also that 1 in 9 people lack access to safe water. And that is pretty significant. I mean, we take for granted our access to water. But when we really think about it, it's a huge problem.
Yeah, we do take that for granted. We, you know, drink it every day. We're used to water. And if you have no problems with something, you tend to take it for granted. But it's important to, you know, remember to be thankful for that. But also, more than that, to help people who don't have that, who don't have the opportunity to even take it for granted because they don't have that clean drinking water. And Hazel, we see here that a lot of people actually die each year as a result of some water-related disease.
Right. 840,000 people die each year, it says. That's quite a large number, isn't it?
That's true, and this is according to the nonprofit water.org, and of course these statistics are always changing, and so you can even look for, you know, updated statistics as time goes on. They're ever changing, and as Linda said, that 1 in 9 people lack access to safe water in the world. Well, the filter is designed to do exactly what, Linda?
To eliminate waterborne bacteria. And we see that borne is highlighted there. And borne just means to be carried by something or transmitted by. So we use this suffix often with diseases. Like here we have waterborne bacteria, but we could also encounter airborne diseases or foodborne illnesses. And those illnesses or bacteria or diseases are carried by those things.
All right, so they're trying to eliminate this bacteria in the water. And it was quite successful, Hazel. It killed so much of the bacteria. How much?
99.9999%. So we know that 99% would be almost all of it.
Yeah.
And then to have those extra nines on there means it's only a little bit of bacteria.
That's right. It's always hard to get to that 100% mark.
Yes, that's
and
right.
You don't usually want to say that. It's safer to say 99.999999
right.
Because it leaves a little room for error, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about as good as you could expect.
That's right.
So it seems to be quite successful. And as I said earlier, they are doing lots of tests. And we have just a sidebar there at the bottom. It says, putting it to the test. And they did some tests back in 2013, some field testing in South Africa, and also the following year they did more tests. What do we learn from this, Linda? Where else did they test this out?
They also tested in northern Ghana and in Bangladesh, and they have partnered with a nonprofit organization, Water is Life.
Okay.
And to also do testing in Haiti and Kenya. So they've done testing in different parts
right.
of the world.
And that's important. To test it, I think, in different areas is good. And to test it at all, of course, they have to do that to see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to learn about the prototype and much more in our next reading for today.
In the prototype, each page has two filters separated by perforations. The top has a message in English. The bottom, the same message in the local language. Users can tear off a filter, place it in a holder above a clean container, and then pour water into the filter. The optimum holder design for effective and easy use is still being developed by Luke Heydrich, who is with Continuum, a design consultancy. The length of time for water to filter through to the container varies, depending on how much debris is in the water. Each page can filter up to 26 gallons. Dankovich initially was working on making antibacterial paper, which has many applications such as food packaging and medical masks. I just was intrigued by the idea of just a cheap water filter. I wasn't necessarily thinking of any particular market. I was trying to focus on the science. Then I started to read more about the water crisis. I thought this could be a great method to clean water for a lot of people out there, she said.
We see this word prototype a lot. We talk about it a lot in advanced. But what does it mean again, Hazel?
It means that it's a sample of something. So something's not on the market. Maybe they haven't produced many of them, but they've made at least one
right.
example of the product so mm-hmm. you can see what it's like.
That's
so that,
the very first one.
Right. So that would be the prototype.
Okay. And so they're talking about the prototype of the drinkable book. And each page has two filters. And what is it separated by, Linda?
It's separated by perforations. And that is, those are small cuts in the paper that make it easy to tear off.
Yeah, you see this a lot with forms and so forth. You know, if it's a more like high quality type of form, you just tear it off. It makes it easy to tear off. Okay, well, they have the message in English and in the local language. There on the page, the top part has it in English, the bottom has the same message in the local language, and the users can simply tear off a filter. And then what can they do, Hazel?
Well, they place it in a holder, something below, maybe a bucket or maybe a cup, a clean container, and above a clean container, mm-hmm. and then you just pour water into the filter. And it sounds like it may take a while to filter. It depends on how much debris is in there.
And they're still working on the holder, and so they're talking about the optimum holder design for effective and easy use. That is still being worked on. And that word optimum meaning the best. So maybe they've tried some holders that don't work quite well, so they're working on the design of that.
Right. They want to make it as ideal as possible. That's easiest to use and most efficient. And if you look on the website for the drinkable book or the video that they have there, it's actually with their partner, Water is Life, which we heard in the earlier section.
Mm-hmm.
They show the prototype that they currently have, and it's actually a box that the book comes in, and the box doubles as the container. So this three-step process is really simple because you have all of the equipment that you need with the box and the book, and you assemble the box somehow, and you put the filter paper in there, and then you pour the water in, and it will filter out.
All right. Sounds easy enough. Very mm-hmm. convenient. Well, this holder is being designed by someone else, and his name is Luke Heidrich, and he's with a design consultancy. And so, again, we reemphasize the point that Teresa Denkovic is not doing it all alone. She has other people helping.
She does, and she's working with a design consultant, and that sounds pretty important because the idea, the drinkable book, the way it's designed, it sounds like it's very clever, mm-hmm. very easy to use, a book everyone is familiar with, and it's easy to keep track of all your filter papers, and so he's also working on the holder. So they're working as a team to get this prototype into production.
That's right.
And the benefit of working as a team is that you can draw from each person's strength. Teresa mm-hmm. Denkovic, she might not be the best at designing, right?
Yeah.
The holder, but here the design consultant would be able to do that.
Right, and so if she tried to do that all on her own, it may not be as successful. So you need to get other people involved and to help you out to make it work so people can actually get that clean drinking water. Well, the length of time for water to filter through to the container varies. It depends on how much debris is in the water and so forth. And let's talk about that word debris. Now, when I think of debris, I think of maybe after a storm, after a typhoon or something, there could be lots of debris around.
Right.
What is that?
Debris are just broken pieces or torn pieces of something that came from a larger piece.
Okay. All right, so it takes some time for the water, of course, to filter through the container, and that time varies because, you know, if there's lots of debris, it would take more time, I guess.
Right, so here, maybe they get the water from a river. There might be pieces of sand in it, pieces of small pieces of leaves or something. And so there's some kind of debris in that the water not only needs to filter through the paper in the book, but also through that debris.
Okay, and so each page, again, it can filter up to 26 gallons, which is a lot it can filter.
And they equate that to about 30 days for one person providing drinkable water
okay.
for about a month.
For one book, will it supply?
No, for one
filter.
Yes, one filter.
Okay, mm-hmm. will it supply water for 30 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, for one book, they say 4 years.
Wow.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's what they
That's about
claim.
How long it takes me to read one book.
All right. Well, it wouldn't take you long to read the drinkable book.
No,
there's
not
only
at all. Keeps repeating itself.
Yeah, repetition is good when learning a language.
Right.
All right.
And the great part about the writing or the message that they have on each page is information about being clean or about clean water. So they mention in their video that a lot of people don't know that they're drinking filthy water. It's because that's what they've grown up with. Mm-hmm. So it's normal to them. And so they're not aware that the water can cause disease. And so these warnings or this information is very helpful to the people using.
All right. But I think, as you mentioned earlier, Linda, Dankovich wasn't really looking to make this drinkable book. Initially, she was working on making antibacterial paper, which has many applications and includes food packaging and medical masks and so forth. So she was really focused on that. And if something has many applications, it has many uses.
Mm-hmm. And she became intrigued or interested, fascinated with the idea of a cheap water filter. So she wasn't really necessarily thinking of any particular market. So she wasn't really thinking about people that didn't have water.
That's right.
Or the poor people in isolated villages, perhaps. But she was just interested in that kind of work. Mm-hmm. And so she was trying to focus on the science of it.
That's right. So that word initially, that means in the beginning. And sometimes you start out with something and you don't know where it's going to go. And then it changes after you get more information and so forth. And so that's what she started out with, this idea of antibacterial paper. And that's kind of what led her to making this book. And maybe she got input from other people and did some brainstorming and so forth. And that's kind of what it led to her making this book.
Right. And it says that she did some reading. She found out more about the water crisis, right? How many people lack clean water in this world. And she thought that would be a great method to provide people with clean water.
Yeah, she wasn't necessarily thinking of any particular market. And so, you know, sometimes you may think, oh, someone's doing this or that just to make money. But she really saw a need here as she did her research. And she says that she was trying to focus on the science. And then she started to read more, as Linda said, about the water crisis. And so, you know, you can think of our world today. What are the different problems going on? And you know, if you have the mind to do it, if you have the skills in place, then you can help people by creating something, by being innovative.
Exactly. And I think this is a great application of science in solving or trying to solve an existing problem in the world. Before, she was interested, or she was working on antibacterial paper, and the products that would be created from you or doing that would be a lot more marketable. But this is more addressing a world problem.
Yeah. So she thought, well, this could be a great method to clean water for a lot of people out there. So there you go. That's how she came up with the drinkable book. Pretty remarkable, isn't it, Hazel?
It is remarkable. And when you think of that market that it will reach, those are probably people that don't have a lot of finances or financial resources. So perhaps she won't make a lot of money as if she was trying to market something for people that were rich or could afford it. So she loves the science. She's intrigued with the idea. It sounds like she's willing to help people. And so that's what she came up with, the drinkable book.
All right. And so, you know, they're still doing tests and so forth, and they still have a ways to go before it's actually out on the market. But it's hopefully going to help a lot of people. Now, I want to take, before we end today, just take a look at a few of the words that we've discussed. It could be one of our vocabulary words or another word that we don't have marked. So, panelists, one word that you want to leave our listeners with today. Linda?
Optimum would be my word. And we said optimum is the best or the ideal. It's also defined as most likely to bring success or advantage.
Right? Okay.
When we do things, we want to do our best, right? We want to be at the optimum level.
Yeah, you could say the best holder design there. That would be an easier way to say it. But of course, optimum sounds better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hazel, another word?
Well, I like the word prototype. People are always trying to invent things, and the very first sample or example of the device or whatever invention it is pretty important, and often they'll have a prototype and then need to make a lot of changes. So the prototypes of things can be very interesting to see the first idea and how it evolves. And you'll hear that word a lot because people are always constantly inventing things
That's
and
right.
then trying to improve them.
Yeah, we see that word come up a lot in advance as we talk about different inventions and so forth. We also have the word intrigued there in line 21. If you're intrigued by something, well, that just means that you find it very interesting. It catches your attention. It's like, oh, that was very intriguing. I want to find out more about it. And that's exactly what happened with Teresa Dinkovich. She wanted to give more information. She started reading about the water crisis and so forth, and that kind of spurred her on and gave her maybe other ideas.
Right, and I just want to say that I find her very admirable. Like she didn't go with, you know, the marketable products that she could have gone with if she continued that route, but she saw that there was a need in this area, and she used science to address that need. And I actually have experience in a country where there was a lack of clean water. I think I've mentioned in previous radio programs that I lived in Africa for a short period of time in the country of Namibia. And there, it's not as bad as in other countries, but people still had to walk a very long distance to get clean water. They didn't have water, like they couldn't turn on a tap and get clean water. They had to walk, in some cases, very, very long distances to get water. So it's something I've seen firsthand.
Wow. Well, you have firsthand experience.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that with us. But a lot of people are in need, and we see that Teresa Dinkovich is helping those who are in need, and we can do that in our everyday lives. We don't have to invent something, but it is really cool that she is taking the time to help people, and I'm sure that helps her to feel good about what she's doing and to hopefully even feel passionate about the work that she's doing because she knows that it is helping people, and that's a great role model for us all. Well, we have much more to talk about tomorrow. With our day two of our innovation article, we hope you will join us then. Until next time, this is Brandon.
Hazel.
Linda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.